Next Saturday, November 22nd, is a date many older Americans remember well. It is the anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy in 1963, and it is only coincidence that the date falls on Saturday this year, the same day as this year's Suicide Loss Day. As the name implies, it is a day focused on the people left behind by the people who end their own lives. The recovery process for the survivors is one very familiar to today's guests. Julie Lockhart is the executive director at Winter Spring, based in the Rogue Valley. Julie, welcome back to The Exchange.
Thanks so much for having me today.
Good to have you here again, along with Shoshana Alexander, who is her sister committed suicide years ago, and she is a participant and a group leader in programs at Winter Spring. Shoshana, good to see you back here as well.
Thanks, Jeff.
Is there, first of all, a great deal of survivor's guilt that comes with being the relative or loved one of somebody who commits suicide?
Well, that hits the nail on the head.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the main things that makes the makes losing someone to suicide go through what's called complex grief. It's not just grieving over a loss. It's filled with guilt over what I could have done, what I should have done, what might have happened. And it goes on and on and on.
And in your own family, it was your sister who committed suicide. Is that right, Shoshana?
Yes, right.
And how long ago? How old was she at the time?
She was 46, and now it's like 20-some years ago.
All right. And how long a period did it take you to sort of founder around until you got to a place where you felt you were getting the help you needed?
Long time. A long time. At that time when she took her life, there really weren't resources like Winter Spring. I'm sure they were out there, but and very few books. It was still hidden. You know, there's even those events now called the Walk Out of Darkness to try to make this something that people actually talk about. At that time, the only people who you could talk to were close friends who maybe weren't afraid.
And even then, you probably had some recoil from people who said, "She what?" You know.
Well, scared, right? Mm-hmm. It terrified people. What terrified me? I think there's no death loss quite like that.
Terrified you? Why?
Oh, it's so violent. It's a violent loss. Murder has happened. But the confusing thing is the very person you lost and grieve the loss of is the killer. And you can't go tell people that, right? It's just, it turns the world upside down. You're ripped apart. It really is PTSD that follows. It's so traumatic.
All right, I'm not surprised. And Julie Lockhart, as Winter Spring Executive Director, you see many people who have been through what Shoshana's been through. Interesting, though, because I don't think I've asked you in previous years about whether there was a suicide in your own family, and you said there was.
There was, yeah. Actually, there were two. I didn't tell you about the second one. These were both people that I wasn't close to. I never met my mother's father because he took his own life before I was born. But I felt the ramifications. I didn't know that it was suicide until I was an adult. But after being at Winter Spring for a few years, I started to see what the ramifications in my own family were for not talking about it, for the silence. And also, the other person in my family that committed suicide was a cousin, and he wasn't someone that I was close to. But again, as I've learned about suicide loss and what happens, the ripple effect in families, I've seen the things about the whole family and the silence and how that's really stifled people and, you know, really closed them up emotionally.
And that seems to be a lingering effect then. I mean, it's not just we're being quiet about this now, but it affects so many other parts of their lives.
It does. It really does. I mean, if you can't talk about that, you can't really talk about anything.
Tell us about Winter Spring so we can understand a little better what it is and what it does.
Yeah, Winter Spring has been around for 25 years. We just celebrated our 25th anniversary, and it was started by a group of very dedicated people. I think most of them were nurses, and they wanted to have support for people who had experienced the loss of a loved one and were struggling. And we work with children, teens, and adults, and we have for 25 years. And one of the areas that we work with, of course, is suicide loss, because it is a very devastating loss. And also children and teens is also very close to my heart, because my daughter and I lost her dad over 10 years ago, and we didn't have a Winter Spring where we were. And you know, how do you work with kids? So that's very important to me, working with kids and the parents after there's been a death.
And Winterspring seems to have shortened its name. It used to be Winterspring Center for Dealing with Loss and Grief or something along those lines.
Well, it's had a couple of different names. I mean, legally, it's still Winterspring Transforming Grief, Winterspring Center for Transforming Grief and Loss. But since I've been the executive director, I've been trying to just shorten it to Winterspring so that there's just that quick name recognition. And we haven't done anything legally about that.
And so it is obviously not just losses from suicide. It's people who've lost somebody through whatever the circumstance was.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, losing a child, losing a spouse, those are some of our most popular groups. Suicide loss is very, very often a full group. We have three or four of those groups every year. And we also have, for the listeners to know, we're going to do a workshop on December 6th. That's a 4.5-hour workshop that's just for suicide loss survivors. And what we're doing is trying to give folks an opportunity after International Survivors Day next Saturday to get together again and to explore some of the issues around this kind of loss in a kind of concise thing. This is a new kind of workshop for us.
We're trying to pull some parts apart here on the Jefferson Exchange because it is still called, I guess, International Survivors of Suicide Day, but these are people who are the relatives or the loved ones of people who have committed suicide, not people who have attempted and survived themselves.
Right.
Our guests are Julie Lockhart, the executive director at Winterspring, and Shoshana Alexander, who is a group leader at Winterspring, and you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Perhaps there are some stories, however painful, you'd like to share with us, or some questions you'd like to ask of Julie and Shoshana. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760. That's anywhere in our listening area, 800-838-3760, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So are there specific events actually coming up? I see there is actually one on Saturday in Medford. Is that right?
Yeah. The International Survivors of Suicide Loss Day is on Saturday, this Saturday the 22nd. It's from 10 until 1. Doors will open at 9:30. And it is an event that is around the world, and that's why they changed it from National Survivors Day to International. And it's something that we've hosted for several years in collaboration with the Jackson County Suicide Prevention Coalition and Columbia Care.
Shoshana showed up with a whole list of things today for us to look at. There are also events going on in our region in Red Bluff and Redding, Medford we just mentioned, and in Springfield as well. And if you're looking for events in your cities, go to afsp.org. That's the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, afsp.org, to get a look at what the events are in your own local community. Shoshana, how long had you been in sessions at Winterspring before you led a session for suicide survivors?
Actually, I came into leading that session after having worked with a book called Unfinished Suicide. I mean, Unfinished Conversation, excuse me. We wish the suicides were unfinished. Unfinished Conversation. And that was a book that led me into face-to-face with what the entire experience was. For me, it made me remember my sister. It asked questions like, what was her bedroom like? What was she like as a child? The way out is through, and it led me right into and through a lot of what I had gone through, and then I came into the support group at Winterspring with other survivors of loss, and that was very powerful.
Is the problem for people who have lost a loved one to suicide that the death, the manner of death, becomes the focus and everything before is erased?
You're absolutely right. Until that Winterspring support group, I thought about my sister every hour. I woke up in the morning thinking about her, but what I thought about was how she died and what I could have done differently and how tragic it was. It's like an obsession. It just would not go away. And surprisingly, when I was in the midst of that group, I realized one day that I was no longer thinking about her first thing when I woke up, that there were hours that went by sometimes, and that when I did think of her, I was remembering who she was. I had had a sister. It wasn't that I had somebody in my life who killed herself. I had had a sister.
Julie, is that fairly common, not just among people who've lost loved ones to suicide, but lost loved ones in whatever way, that they tend to focus more on the death than the life, or is it more acute with...
I think it's more acute when there's been some kind of a tragic death, like suicide. It is going to be more acute, and if somebody has watched their loved one die over time, like through cancer, and been one of the caretakers, sometimes that then defines their memory as well. And that's why one of the things we really like to encourage in our groups with both kids and adults is finding the memories and talking about the good times, because what we want people to do is create a new relationship with that person who has died, because of course they can't have the old relationship anymore in the physical form, but they can create that new relationship, and through those memories they're able to do that.
Our guests on the Jefferson Exchange are Julie Lockhart and Shoshana Alexander from Winter Spring. We're talking about, it's International Survivors of Suicide Day coming up on Saturday. The terminology can get a little tricky, obviously, as we talk about the fact that these are not people who survived their own suicides, but survived suicides of loved ones. You can join us for questions or comments at 800-838-3760 around the listening area. 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. How hard is it, Julie Lockhart, for people to come forward in the first place, to actually attend a session at a place like Winter Spring and admit that they have lost somebody to suicide? It sounds like a lot of people wander in the wilderness for a long time before they come to you.
Oh, they do. And we do get calls from those folks, and they're not ready. And you know they're not ready because, you know, you try and tell them all the benefits of the group and really encourage them in as many ways as possible, and they still don't come, or they might sign up and not show up. Because it is really very scary to imagine walking through the grief. And yet, if we can get somebody into a group by the third or fourth session, I'm not saying they're healed by then, but they start to see the benefit of the group process. And but we can also, if we have somebody call who's in that wandering phase, we can also set them up with one-on-one support with our trained volunteers. It's a peer-to-peer support model. And that can help them to, you know, just open up to one person, and sometimes then they become ready for a group.
Peer-to-peer as opposed to counselor to client kind of mm-hmm. relationship. Shoshana?
I'd like to put in here that neuroscience has shown that healing of trauma happens in relationship. Any psychological healing happens in relationship, but in particular that, by being around other brains who understand what it is that you have gone through and are in the process with that intention to heal, something happens to the brain itself. So relationship, whether it's in a group or one-to-one, is the key to healing.
And we see some incredible bonding that happens in these groups. People who, form lifelong friendships that help them as they move forward. And we see that over and over again. Because in that group process, usually on the third meeting of the group, people will bring maybe photographs. And I find that to be one of the more bonding experiences, because then everybody's really, really going deeper and talking about their memories of the person that they've lost.
And at this point, again, they are talking about the person's life as opposed to the person's death.
Yes.
Well, and their experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It usually starts out with that, the rawness, the intensity of their own feelings, and then coming around to being able to remember that person. But that's part of the healing. First, you have to get through your own trauma in order to remember.
But when people get into a group process and they start to see that other people also had similar experiences, they feel less alone. And that can be so incredibly healing for people.
It's a receptive environment then, and they don't feel they've had one up until now.
Yeah, often they don't. Because I was reading an article yesterday, it was a few years ago in the Chicago Tribune, but it showed up on Facebook again, and it was actually written by a young person about her parents' death, her dad's death, when she was little, and she talked about the awkward silence, because as a kids are so blunt, you know, somebody would say, well, what does your dad do? Oh, well, he died, you know, and the parent would have the adult in the conversation would just have this awkward silence. So multiply that by 100 when there's a suicide. You know, the awkward silence is probably even more profound and more difficult to deal with.
So there is still a great stigma to suicide. I mean, it's not just that it's uncomfortable to talk about because it's a death of a loved one, but suicide itself, the act of suicide, is still something that there's a certain level of judgment upon.
I think so. Yeah, certainly. As I said, you know, our family was very silent about it, you know, and really only the survivors like Shoshana over here can talk about that for sure. But, you know, you might want to add something.
Well, I think what happened that Julie's talking about is my sister at 19 tried to kill herself. And we never talked about it. None of us, I never talked about it with her, even when we were adults. Certainly my parents never talked about it. They took her to the hospital. Her stomach was pumped. She came home and life went on. And I am sure that if we had addressed that particular thing, she wouldn't have carried it around as an option for the rest of her life till she took her life.
And so that was another, what, 27 years after that? Or
Right. And so I'm just anyone who has a family member who has attempted, particularly teenagers, when there's an attempt, it's really, really important to bring that out in the open, to talk about it, as well as to talk about when there's a family legacy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really important.
My son was, Julie asked me this morning, when my son was about 9 years old, he asked, what happened to her? He knew that there had been this aunt he had. And I told him she died. Why? Because she was very, very sad. I really didn't know what else to say. When he was a teenager, I told him that she had taken her own life and told him how important it was to remain aware of his own mind states and to be open about that. So even in college, as he was going through the kind of traumas and crisis that can come up for college kids, he would call me up and he'd be talking and he'd be crying or whatever, and he would always say, "Don't worry, Mom, I'm not going to kill myself." And the very fact that he had the awareness of that makes, I think, a huge difference.
We'll take a couple more minutes here talking with Julie Lockhart and Shoshana Alexander about suicide and the effects on the people left behind. Suicide Survivors Day is this Saturday, November 22nd, with events going on in Medford, Reading, Red Bluff, and Eugene, Springfield, among other places. You can join us on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 with questions and comments, 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org, or check out the picture we shot of Shoshana on the left and Julie on the right on our Facebook page. Are there more support groups over time that we're aware of, not just through Winter Spring, but just all places around the country?
There's going to be support groups around the country, definitely. There's various organizations across the country. One of the places to find out is the Dougie Center in Portland. They've got a list of various places that people can go to. The Dougie Center is very famous. Mostly they work with children, teens, and families. And I don't know, they do have some, I'm not sure exactly what their programs are for suicide loss, but they do have support resources listed on their website.
Unfortunately, because the rate of suicide is increasing globally, it's said that in the past 50 years, it's gone up 60%.
Really?
And we have, with unfortunately so many deaths happening of military veterans since the wars in the Middle East, 23 a day is what they say the average is. There is increasing response to suicide.
So we have the tools with which to respond to suicide, but are we still doing much, if anything, in the way of identifying people who might be at risk for suicide?
There's a lot of work going on in this valley. The Jackson County Suicide Prevention Coalition is very active, and especially we've been working more. I sit on that coalition. We've been working more with the schools, the high schools. We have a meeting quarterly at South Medford High School just because there are so many issues. And there's a lot of activity going on in this valley in terms of prevention.
And are there steps that people should be taking to recognize danger for suicide, risk for suicide, either in themselves or in people near them?
Well,
and here again, I want to be careful because I don't want, you know, the whole idea of Suicide Survivors Day is that they don't end up walking away with guilt of their own.
Yeah, but it's important to realize that if there has been a suicide in someone's life, they become more at risk for at least a short period of time. And I guess what I would say is if there's any question, call Jackson County Mental Health Crisis Line 541-774-8201. And while I've been trained on what to do, I certainly wouldn't call myself an expert at recognizing the signs. But if anybody starts talking about anything related to, I'm going to kill myself, I think it's important to take it seriously.
We have an email here from somebody who obviously chooses to remain anonymous. He says, it would be great to see more effort for suicide prevention on the front end of this. My nephew could not find any help from the so-called helplines. He never got called back and eventually pulled the trigger and ended it all. Very sad. So
that is sad.
Is the response generally speedy? Is there sometimes a delay? Is it a different thing from community to community?
It's going to be different from community to community, and some people do fall through the cracks. But I think what's important to know is that the effort is being made, and there's more and more funding that's finding its way to suicide loss and suicide prevention.
Shoshana, you mentioned a couple of astounding statistics. One is the 60% rise in suicide. You also talked about veterans returning from the Middle East, 23 die a day to suicide. And then there are some figures here as well about the age group and gender that seems most prone to suicide. What is that?
Men between the ages of 45 and 64, interestingly. Men are more likely overall to kill themselves than women. But unfortunately, the rate of teen suicide is also going up. Julie, did you have?
Well, there's certainly been some locally that have been in the press. And so, yeah, we've been paying close attention. That's why the Jackson County Suicide Prevention Coalition is partnering with the schools and talking more about what to do. And if there's a child at risk, a teen at risk, you know, they're working on protocols to make sure that the teen doesn't only just end up in the hospital, but that the schools end up knowing about it and can follow up and make sure and follow them and make sure they're doing okay.
You know, in general, the news media, except in cases of notable people like Robin Williams, don't tend to report on suicides. And I think the thinking is that, like there used to be with bomb threats, you don't want to report them because you might get copycats. And I wonder if that's just adding to the whole sense of, oh, and nobody knows what to say when there's been a suicide.
Well, I think copycat suicide is an issue, but I think it's not okay not to talk about it, because if people get educated and learn what the signs are, then they're more likely to help each other. And so I'm certainly an advocate for talking all the time.
All right. And the event is 10 to 1 on Saturday at the Smullen Center in Medford. International Survivors of Suicide Today, Day, rather. Additional events, as we pointed out, in Red Bluff, in Reading, in the Medford you just heard about. And there's another one in Springfield coming up. Find the full list at AFSP.org. That's American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, AFSP. And 541-774-8201 for the helpline in Jackson County. There's probably a helpline in your county as well. We'll urge you to go find that online if you feel the need for it. I want to thank Shoshana Alexander and Julie Lockhart for joining us to talk about suicide here in the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
So much.